Try that one more time. Perfect. So, we are here on Thanksgiving Sunday. We are here for a full meal. And I would like to just open in a word of prayer for us to hunger to be fed. Hunger to be fed. Heavenly Father, it is a joy, a delight, and a huge responsibility to be given the honor and the privilege to speak from your word. And you give us such a simple phrase this morning to unpack. And out of that, I would just pray that one person would look at this part of the Lord's Prayer differently than they did before, but that each of us would this week somehow hunger to be fed. Through your Son Jesus, we pray, amen. So here we are, we're in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do, give us this day our daily bread today. We're going to unpack it a little bit. But I always like to situate people. Maybe you haven't been here for the whole series. Maybe you found the first couple a little bit slow and you might have nodded off for them. So I'm just going to give you a quick recap. This is our program from now till Christmas. And you won't believe it today with the 22 degrees and it's feeling like summer. The snow is coming. I was in Calgary on Monday and it was already there. So it's only a matter of time. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer for six Sundays. Today, we're going to be halfway. We've made it halfway through the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to have about four Sundays on missions. We're about halfway through that as well. We're going to have a couple of Sundays on back to the basics, what it means to be part of a Pine Grove family, what it means to be here and what we believe. And then, boom, we're into Advent. Four Sundays, and it's Christmas Day. So we have been studying the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to take a look at that. But I don't know about you, but the Lord's Prayer has that word in it, prayer. And I don't know how your life is around prayer, but my life, I'm easily distracted. Why do I have so much trouble praying? Well, too much to do. Too much distraction. Too much noise. My thoughts just wander when I sit down to pray. Have you ever started to pray and think about what needs to go on the grocery list? Okay, that's the way I start my prayer. I don't know what to pray. You know, there's so much going on. You know, pray for peace in the Middle East. Well, that's a good one to pray. We've been praying for that one for many, many, many centuries. And then some days I just sort of say to myself, you know what? I do not feel close enough to God to really merit being able to talk to the Creator, to talk to the Redeemer, to talk to my Savior. Any of these resonating with you? Has this ever happened to you? All those who it hasn't happened to, please raise your hands now. Okay, Ted. No. All right. So the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' answer to when you think you can't pray. Because he says, this is the way to contact my Father. You will get through. There will be no busy line. You will not be transferred to the Philippines. It is a direct line. And so if any of these come up, then kick in to the Lord's Prayer and you will have direct access. So that's why we look at the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, this is a prayer that you can reach my Father. And it's interesting because it's in two parts of the Gospels. And one is a bit of a longer version, one's a bit shorter. There are a couple of differences between the two. And so we're going to just look at, sorry, that doesn't come up real good in the blue there, but we're just going to go through it. Matthew, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus said this in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount and to thousands of people. So he said, look, you want a direct line? This is not a privileged aeroplane, platinum, altitude membership. This is for everybody. If you want access, this is the way you do it. The second time it's recorded, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's very similar. This one is recorded as having been said to the apostles. So a little bit tighter group, but still the idea that this is how you contact my Father. This is the way to pray, to communicate, to be in relationship. And so we're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer, and I have been able to give the first message, and I think the Lord's Prayer is a lot like a really, really big hamburger. Because it has a top, a middle, and a bottom, and lots of really good things in between. So if you can remember this, if nothing else, the Lord's Prayer is like a hamburger, you have got my message. We might be able to take you a little deeper. So what is the hamburger? Well, there's a part at the top, a part at the bottom, and there's three big bits in the middle. Our Father is the top bun. And then the first half focuses on God. Your hallowed name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we get to the middle part, which is the middle bread, on earth as it is in heaven. And then we completely change gears, and it focuses on us. Give us bread, forgive us our debts, deliver us from evil, and then the bottom part of the bun, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So that's how the Lord's Prayer fits together. It's a very, very compressed, encapsulated, complete edition of the gospel. It's about God, and it's about us relating to God. And so today, we're just going to focus on that little tiny bit, give us this day our daily bread. So, if any of you know any of the Star Wars movies, one of the most famous characters in Star Wars is Yoda. He's green, and he's little, and he has funny ears. And backwards, everything he says. So we're going to look at this prayer backwards. We're going to look at bread, and then we're going to look at this day our daily, and then we're going to look at give us. And in a way, it will unpack something that's so familiar to us that it might give you some new insights. So fasten your seatbelts, and let's begin. Now, I am very, very keen on visual aids. And so I thought we'd start our examination of the Lord's Prayer with a French baguette. Now, a French baguette is perhaps, and maybe I'm just a Francophile, the best epitome of what bread looks like. Well, maybe not. Maybe if you're from a Dutch tradition or a German tradition or an English tradition, you'll think of something more sort of squat. But to me, the perfect embodiment of bread is the French baguette. So what are the ingredients of a baguette? If you want to make three baguettes, all you need is four ingredients. Nothing more, nothing less. You need 4 cups of bread flour. You need 2 cups of lukewarm water. You need 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of active dry yeast. How could this have anything to do with the Lord's Prayer? You're probably asking yourself, and I'm glad you asked. Well, because really, bread is an everyday miracle. And I'm going to unpack it for you so that you can enter into this mystery of what bread is. How many people have ever made a loaf of bread? Okay, yeah, we're in good company here. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at this bread. There's a whole French movie about the mystery of bread, but the French will make movies about just about anything. So, and it talks about like the texture and things inside the bread. So I want you to just take a look at this, smell it, and then pass it on. Okay? Okay? And if anybody at the back wants to eat that, it is totally up to them. There you go. So the reason why bread is such an amazing symbol for Jesus to use is not only that it was the most popular foodstuff of the time, at the time of Jesus, but also because it's made of these 4 ingredients, which each one in itself is a mystery. is a miracle. So flour came from a grass which is very, very ancient in the Middle East. And the flour itself comes from wheat, which comes from a grass. And it's about 8,000 years old since we've been cultivating wheat that we can make into flour. Now, the interesting thing about wheat is it has some very, very peculiar characteristics. One of the characteristics is that it's made up of sugar. Well, carbohydrates, if you want to get really technical. It's also made up of a very particular kind of protein. And the protein is called gluten. And the gluten does really, really amazing things. It's the original elastic band. Because you can stretch it, you can pull it, and it will hold its shape if it's cooked. So already, that doesn't happen with very many things. And the idea is that it grows in wonderful, wonderful places around the world. Many, many places. So it's not something that's really difficult to grow. So already we have the first ingredient. Second ingredient is water. Now, water is also a minor miracle because if we didn't have water on the planet, we wouldn't be able to live. Right? No water, no life. There's some other really cool things about water. Did you know that the density of water decreases as it gets colder so that your ice cubes float? And that's not so, I suppose, remarkable, except that try skating on the Rideau Canal if it froze from the bottom first. It would be a long time before we could skate on the Rideau Canal. So what happens is the top layer freezes first, and so basically we are able to use all kinds of interesting applications for water. We are, in our livable state, able to use water at all the temperatures that we can survive in. So basically we can have steam, go for a steam bath. We can have water, go for a bath. An ice cube bath, not so sure about that, but we can be there. So it's a gold, for instance, has a very high liquid point, and an even higher gaseous point. So water is very, very unusual. And then finally we have yeast. And yeast is an amazing mystery because it's a living organism. But it has a very, very funny operational set of DNA. What it does is it takes sugar, and I did mention to you that there's sugar in wheat. It takes sugar, and as long as there's no oxygen present, it converts the sugar into carbon dioxide and alcohol. So let's not go into the beer example. Let's take the bread example for a minute. So the yeast takes the sugar from the flour and it eats it. And so then it produces this carbon dioxide and the alcohol. The carbon dioxide wants to escape, and it would escape except for the fact that it's got to put up with gluten. So the gluten goes, it stretches, and suddenly you have going from flatbread to this beautiful baguette. And you have the rising bread. Now, isn't that a miracle? God had to figure out gluten. He had to figure out carbohydrates. He had to figure out yeast. I mean, yeast wasn't really understood until 1857 by Louis Pasteur in France. They've been making bread since ancient Egypt. But bread as a symbol in the Lord's Prayer is a minor miracle. The mere fact that we have bread is evidence enough for me that God exists. You mix it, you let it rise, you bake it, and when you bake it, the gluten doesn't work anymore because otherwise it would spring back. It gets solidified in that form. And if you've had a chance to smell that, touch that, you tasted it at the Lord's Supper that we just had, it evokes all the senses. I can't think of a better symbol that Jesus could have used than bread. Okay, enough about science, Don's quirky facts. Let's go into what the passage might really mean. Give us this day our daily bread. What's the bread? Well, it's more than you think. I've given you the whole science of how bread works. But people all over the world have just gone nuts figuring out different kinds of bread, using different kinds of flour. But predominantly, as Wikipedia tells me, there's 179 types of bread. Pumpernickel, pitas, bagels, bannock, you name it. So when Jesus said bread, he meant our physical bread, things we'll eat, the bread that is before us. So it could have been that baguette. But it was much more than that, because he was using it, in fact, to represent all of our physical needs, like food, a bit more diverse than bread. Maybe a few veggies, maybe some meat, the whole idea of nutrition that our body needs. So when he says, pray to me, pray to my Father about our daily bread, he's praying for all of the physical needs that we have. And that would include drink. It would include shelter. But maybe he meant more than that. Maybe he meant hunger to be fed by bread that meets all of your needs, your emotional needs, the needs for fellowship, the needs for acceptance, the needs for what we call these days wellness. Bread are necessary, things on a day-to-day-to-day basis. But maybe he meant something even bigger. Maybe he meant something spiritual. Not wellness, but wholeness. About being complete, understanding where we come from. Connecting to the cosmos, connecting to God, connecting to the Creator. And I thought maybe I was just making this stuff up, because I am occasionally prone to make things up. But I found this from a North American theologian by the name of Daryl Johnson, who's written an excellent book called The 57 Words That Changed the World, An Analysis of the Lord's Prayer. And he said bread probably has six levels. It's the physical bread that you just touched. It's everything necessary to function in the world and for the preservation of life. So he said Jesus was talking about all the production systems that make bread available. And if you took that to the 21st century, that would be my sister growing the wheat in Saskatchewan, driving it to the grain elevator, it being milled in a mill, going into a bag, being sold at Loblaws, you picking it up, going to your home, and baking it into a loaf. But it also means all the other foodstuffs as well. So the physical needs, but the physical world to make that happen. Maybe it's even bigger, and this is where I'd say he moves into the spiritual dimension, that bread is really everything necessary for living the kingdom life. That emotional health, that spiritual health. But he goes further. He says, no, it might also mean spiritual bread. And when we want to connect with God, when we want to pray, we need to hunger to be fed. And our intermediary is the Holy Spirit. And then levels 5 and 6, maybe he was referring to himself. Jesus says, pray to the Father, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, and by the way, I am the bread of life. Coincidence? I think not. Finally, this is an interesting one. I wouldn't have kind of put this one together. Bread being for the coming day, for the final day when the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness. The idea that at the end times, we will come face to face with our bread, and that this is what we're to pray for. So just a few things to think about. Give us this day our daily bread is just a little bit more complex than what meets the eye. Okay, enough about bread. How about this daily thing? Daily bread. Why do we say this day, our daily? Isn't that kind of repetitive? Well, the Greek word is epiosios. And the interesting thing about epiosios is it's used twice in the entire Greek language. Not just in the Bible. Two instances of that word in the entire Bible, and it's not found anywhere else in the Greek language. So we're not quite sure what it means. But it's made up of two words, epi and osios. And epi means super, like over the top. And epios, we're not quite sure what it means. But it can be translated as daily or as super essential. So give me my super essential bread. Or give me my super substantial bread. So why is this even important? Well, first of all, it does lead one to believe that Jesus wasn't just talking about a baguette. My super essential baguette, that just sort of doesn't ring true. It's something bigger. It's a concept that's bigger, and this is an adjective to the word bread, and it means my super essential stuff of life. And so if you apply those words daily, it means about providing all of my necessaries for the day. So that's not just bread, it's also health and community and spiritual connection and those kinds of things. If you take it to the next level, super essential probably means it also is some concept of being connected to the bread, the provider of the bread. The super essential means that it's got to be, there's got to be some meaning to the bread, and the meaning comes from a relationship, and the relationship is about our salvation with the Creator. Or, if you take it one step further, super substantial, I would argue, means both. So, meeting our daily needs from a physical point of view, but also meeting our emotional and spiritual needs with respect to it. So this is why we have super essential bread on a day-to-day basis. And maybe that explains just a tiny bit why we have this day our daily. So, how about the last part? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us. Well, first of all, we're praying to the Father. Give us. Let's focus on the word give. We approach God in this prayer because we have needs. We have hungers. And we cannot fulfill those hungers on our own. As much as we'd like to believe in the 21st century that we create everything and that we know how everything works, interestingly, the Human Genome Project mapped all of the DNA of humans. Wheat has more complicated DNA than humans do. Because we have one set of chromosomes, they have four or six. So, we can't do this. God has to do this for us. And why does God want to do this? This is the same old thing that's so hard for us to believe as human beings. Because God wants us to survive and thrive so that we can be in relationship with Him. And so, God creates and gives us what we need to eat. And I don't know if you know this famous poem, but I'm going to suggest that what goes for trees goes for all the plants and animals that we eat. This is a poem written in 1913 by a fellow by the name of Joyce Kilmer. You might know it. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet-flowing breast, a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree or a wheat plant or anything else that we eat. So, Father, give us. So the give part, God wants to give this to us. He wants us to thrive, but we have the hunger, right? We have the hunger. He has the desire to be in a relationship. And so, what about the us part? This part is about, it's not, Father, please give me my daily bread. It's give us our daily bread. So there's a sense of a collectivity, a sense of community that would have been very easy for Jesus' time to understand because they lived in community. We live in an individualistic society and say, oh, you know what, I got to go to church, there's all those funny people there, oh my, I don't know if I could take. Community is the way God relates to us. And so He wants us to enjoy the collective hunger that He will feed. And so this is where the rubber hits the road on this prayer, because it's not just about me. It's about us. And it's about us hungering to be fed together. And so whether you're talking about whether my family has enough to eat, or whether the families that we're going to visit in Haiti have enough to eat, we're all in this together. As brothers and sisters of Christ, we have a social responsibility to understand that giving us means if we have enough, we have to share. If we don't, then we have a real need to hunger for God's provision. So what about those who don't have enough for their daily bread? How do they pray this? What about those of us who have enough? How do we pray this? Well, let me suggest that we pray a Latin American prayer. O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give hunger for justice. So the implications are is that what happens in Pine Grove doesn't stay in Pine Grove. What happens in Pine Grove has to go out those doors. Give us this day our daily bread. So, get practical. What does this passage really mean to us today on the 8th of October? Well, I'd say there's three questions. What's Jesus really teaching us to ask for? What are the lifestyle implications of praying this prayer, this petition? And what does love have to do with it? So, I think Jesus is suggesting three things. Sorry, it's a little hard to read there. But these are passages from Scripture, and Jesus is suggesting all of these. Come to me and the Father in prayer, because man does not live by bread alone, but on every word which comes from God's mouth. Jesus says, I am the salvation because I am the bread of life. And as we had heard at communion, I gave my life to reconcile you to the Father. And so he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus had authority to say, you should pray this to the Father. Give us this day our daily bread. He had been there, or he was going to be there, on the cross in Calvary. So finally, give us this day our daily bread. It's more than just about bread. It's one author has called this, it's a call to radical living, a dangerous and subversive prayer. Because it comes with a little bit of responsibility. If you don't have bread, pray that I will be provided for. I will trust. I will have faith in the Lord for that provision. But by golly, if you do have bread, you have a responsibility to make sure that brothers and sisters in Christ are being provided for. And so we do that. That's part of our mission. That's part of what we do at Pine Grove as brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's radical, it's dangerous, subversive. The whole idea of feeling that responsibility, it's not exactly what our society in 21st century Canada thinks about as the first instance. I'm going to suggest that when you go home today, I want you to remember three words about the Lord's Prayer. One is, it's a prayer of dependency. And whether you have enough bread or not, you're still dependent. Because we all are broken individuals. And if we're not broken on the physical level, we might be experiencing brokenness on the emotional or the spiritual level. And we depend on God for our daily needs, our daily bread. So that's the D word. Then how about the prayer of solidarity? That's the S word. So we're all in this together. How can I help? Do I have enough food of my own? If I can, how do I help? Do I give something to the food bank? Do I work on some project? Do I work for a social justice cause? Do I go to Haiti? What do I do? Third is, this fits very nicely, didn't know you were going to be talking about the whole notion of gratitude. Should have been obvious, but The Lord's Prayer is a lot about having enough. It's about gratitude. It's about coming to the Lord and saying, thank you for my daily bread. And that's the G word. So why are these three words important? Because this is your homework. When you eat bread this week, anytime you eat bread this week, or even one time when you eat bread this week, I want you to pray a prayer of either dependency, solidarity, or gratitude. Or at least when you pick up your sandwich, say, what did that guy on Sunday say we were supposed to pray about? And it doesn't matter. If you can't remember, pray the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to actively be engaged in saying, give us this day our daily bread. And, like all good movies, to be continued. Petition number 5, forgive us our sins, by Kedin in a couple of weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you provide for every need and requirement that we have in our daily lives. And when you don't provide, we ask, why are you not providing? And so we raise up this prayer as a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread.